Once you see what you actually are, that you're an infinite, limitless being, you'll see that nothing exists outside of you. I'm your host, Derek Grant, and this is the Pathway to Your Results podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Pathway to Results podcast. It is your boy, DG. We're here live and in effect. It's a privilege. It's an honor. Boy, oh boy. I hope y'all are ready. So I came back from the other side. When I say the other side, me and my beautiful wife, my lovely soulmate, Carly, had our ceremony, our ayahuasca ceremony. I'm gonna break some things down for you, for those, because I know there's some people who are partaking in my retreat coming up here in June in Tulum, and I'm gonna demystify ayahuasca. See, here's the thing that I've learned about Western civilization. Western civilization is really good at glamorizing spirituality. They're really good at I like to say, not making the main thing the main thing. Okay. I don't want to start preaching quite yet because I'm going to need to save all my energy for this one because we're going to go deep. But what I found is just from, you know, hearings and documentaries, and it's like, we're missing it. And I'm, you know me, the Sagittarius in me, I always got to know why and how, and I'm going to break everything down and keep it simple for you to understand really what this plant medicine is, what it does, what it's intended for, what it can do. And it's not going to be in some like, oh, yeah, this mystical experience. Not to say that you won't, but like, as with everything with me, how does this apply to me in my life? How is this going to help me pay these bills? How is this going to help me raise these children? Okay. Because this is ultimately at the end of the day, you can be as spiritual as, what are they, spiritual AF? You can be as spiritual AF as you want, but you still got to be a human too. And this is why I went to the other side to gather intel so I could come back and do this human thing. So stay with me here. So like I had proposed a question. I was sitting with my team here a couple of weeks ago and we were talking about Christianity. We were talking about really how Western civilization had gotten hold of Christianity and the Roman Empire. Now the esoteric meetings and the esoteric teachings of this sacred work was no longer esoteric. It was exoteric. So when you go sit in the pulpit or you go sit in church every Sunday, you're getting taught the exoteric teachings of this book. And now it really doesn't apply to you unless, you know, you're doing your work on the outside of church to figure out what it means esoterically. So I proposed the question. I asked him, I said, did Jesus wear blue jeans? And they looked at me and they were like, what? Did Jesus wear blue jeans? I genuinely want to know, did Jesus wear blue jeans? And they looked at me perplexed. And we didn't stop talking about it. I went and talked to Carly about it. I'm like, Carly, did Jesus wear blue jeans? She's like, I don't know. Why are you asking if Jesus wore blue jeans? The reason why I was asking this was because what did it matter if Jesus wore blue jeans? What did it matter? What did it matter if Jesus was black? What did it matter if Jesus was white? What did it matter if Jesus worshiped? That wasn't the point. That wasn't the point. The point of it was this teacher, these teachings was trying to get you to see what you were. But because you had forgotten when you went incarnated into this human experience, he had to speak in parables. He had to use examples. He had to use metaphors because otherwise you was going to take it literal and you would miss it. Stay with me. So me and my wife, you know, I had asked that question, you know, did Jesus wear blue jeans? And I forgot about it, right? But we had been corresponding and setting everything up to have the ceremony for months. And the shaman who we were going to be working with met us, and he escorted us to where we need to go. So he meets us outside the hotel, and I saw him, and I knew it was him. I knew it was him when I saw him. You know what his name was? His name was Jesus. But in his native land, they pronounced it Jesus. So I'm looking at Jesus across the street. Traffic's going by and he's sitting there. He waves and everything's going by, right? And time stops and I'm looking at him. I'm like, this is him. So I walk up to him and said, hey, how are you? I'm Derek. And he says, hey, my name is Jesus. You know what he had on? He was wearing jeans. He was wearing jeans. Jesus the shaman was wearing jeans. And instantly when I saw it, I knew it. I knew it. I can't make this up. I'm gonna go deep. Y'all stay with me. I can't make this up. And I'm gonna tell you why I can't make it up. And I'm like, are you kidding me? So anyway, we get in the cab with him and he's explaining this and he's speaking in his Peruvian accent. It's hard to understand, really, kind of, you know, as he speaks very softly, very quietly. And I could tell this man had been, he had a direct relationship with Mother Aya. He had a direct relationship with the universe. And the reason why, you can tell by the softness, his energy, it was like nothing I've ever experienced in a human being before. So we end up getting in this cab and we drive down this road and we drive down this road for like 30, 35 minutes. And then the road stops and becomes a gravel road. And then this gravel road becomes like potholes like you wouldn't believe. No man had really done anything to this road. And we have to like go in past this barricade, and it was a nature preserve. And we go in and he takes us there. And then the cab driver's like, yeah, blah, blah. They say they're speaking language. And they stop the car. And there's just woods on both sides, just forest. He's like, right here. And he backs up. And he pulls forward again. And Jesus is like, here. And I'm like, here? What are we doing? I'm like, you know, the three-dimensional mind. Like, are we safe? What's going on? What's it? I don't know. And we get out of the car and we start walking in the woods. This is me, Carly, and Jesus. And we start walking in the woods, and I'm like, the mind, the fears, what is happening? What is this? What is going on? But as we start walking, I start to like trust that this is like, yeah, this is not like you see in the Western world, right? This isn't like what we see in the Western world where you go to this nice resort and I'm sitting there and, you know, I get, you know, they're all wearing linen clothes and it's all white. And it's not, it was none of that, none of that. So we get there and you can see like a clearing. We're in this woods. We're probably 5 minutes in walking through the woods. And there's like a clearing where human beings had been, where clearly there had been, you know, something going on. It's just matted down palm trees. And he's like, here is where we will have the ceremony. And he starts to break down of how he became a shaman and how this was passed down from his grandfather when he used to help his grandfather because he was the shaman in their Peruvian village. And he would help people and usher them through to the next transition of life, right, of killing off all old parts. And he was talking about Mother Ayo and explaining the ceremony and how it's going to go and everything. And then we sit down and we kind of set our intentions. And he starts playing the Icaros, right? The Icaros is like a chant. It's like a shamanic, you know, drum and, you know, playing of music. And I'm like, I know how long ayahuasca takes to kick in. I know how long ceremonies, usually 5, 6, 7, 8 hours. And he starts playing the Icaros. He has a hand pan there and he starts to like. And he has the palm trees and his. And you start to find yourself get into this state of mind, a state of being, right? So I drink the first cup. I drink mine. Carly drinks hers. After about 30 minutes, right? Still feel fine, right? He says, oh, are you feeling good? Good, good. Gives me another cup, gives Carly another cup. Fast forward another 30 minutes, feeling good. Yeah, yeah. Gives me a cup, gives Carly another cup, right? So now we're in three cups. He comes back. He's like, okay, all right. How do you feel? Carly's like, I don't know. I feel a little nauseous. He said, okay. He comes to me. How do you feel? I feel good. Yeah, yeah. Take another cup. So I'm at four cups now. Carly's at three. Now we're probably about 2 hours in now, right? There's nothing around. There's no people around. There's no humans. There's nothing. There's no civilization. He said there were some indigenous people that lived here that sometimes would walk by, but they know what we're doing and they won't bother us. And I start to feel this calmness, right? So I settle in and I lay down and I'm laying on my side and I can see the ants. The ants are like what to me looks like they're running up the trees. And I'm like, why are they running? And at this moment, I'm starting to communicate with the ants telepathically, energetically. And I'm like, why are you guys running? Why are you in such a hurry? And they reply to me, we're not in a hurry. You're the one who's in a hurry. It just looks like we're in a hurry because you're in a hurry. And I thought to myself, how many times do we do this in life? We'll take what we are and project it onto somebody else. I'm over here. I don't know nothing about these ants. I ain't never been in these ants' life. I ain't never come across them. I ain't never. They don't know me from Adam. I'm over here looking at them talking about, why are you in such a hurry? Why are you doing this? Because I had a standard of what a hurry was, and I'm projecting it on them. They looked at me and said, we're not in a hurry. You're the one in a hurry. Good God Almighty, y'all ain't trying to hear me. I'm over here projecting on these ants. These ants over here mind their business. And here I am as a human. See what the ego does? I walked in their home talking about why y'all acting like this. I don't understand why y'all in a hurry. Y'all over here doing, they like, what? Like, man, if you get the, we in a hurry, you in a hurry. And I said, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. So I start to become one. Not anybody who's had a psychedelic experience. When your eyes are open, it's one experience. When your eyes are closed, it's a completely different world. Now, me and Carly are sitting right next to each other, and we're just talking. And she's like, I started to close my eyes. She's like, I started to go into another world. Now, this was her first experience with psychedelics. She's like, I'm like going into another world. I said, well, then keep your eyes closed. She's like, everything started to come to me. She's like, but I opened my eyes because I was afraid. I said, keep them closed. Keep them closed. There's a whole other world that you don't know about yet. So I close my eyes. I just lay there. I begin to communicate with the universe. The universe begins to communicate through humming, right? Where I would hum and telepathically communicate to the universe, and then it would hum through me the answer. So I'm laying on my side, and I'm like, and that was me asking a question to it. And then it would reply back. And I knew what it was saying. I knew what it was saying. It was telling me. So I was just asking questions, and it was coming to me. Now, I don't know if you have kids now. If you listen to this, you probably have kids, right? But there's a movie I think Disney created. I think it was Disney. It was called Ponyo, P-O-N-Y-O. It's a Japanese anime movie. It came out in the early 2000s called Ponyo. Ponyo. Ponyo was this fish that became a girl. The energy of her, if you hear her voice, she would say, ham, I love ham, right? This was her energy. It was just this sweet, cute, innocent little girl, right? This little fish. And she wanted to be a little girl. But as my eyes are closed, I'm communicating with the universe. Good God Almighty, I'm coming to you right now in real time. I'm communicating with the universe, and the universe is presenting itself in the form of Ponyo's energy. This sweet, this innocent, this pure, childlike. And I say, what is your name? Knowing that it's the all, the absolute. I said, what is your name? And it says to me, there are no names. I'm everything. I'm everything. There's no name for me. And I said, yeah, but you're not the universe. You're not like, oh no, that's what you humans call it. I'm everything. Okay. But what about God though? That's just the name that humans came up with. I'm everything. And intuitively, I knew what it was saying. It's telling me, it's reminding me what I was, good God Almighty, what you are, this child inside. So I was experiencing the inner child of this universe, this inner child. I started to feel this elation, this joy. I had tears streaming down my face. Just the elation I felt. I remember feeling this when I was 8, 9 years old. I remember when I would feel this. I would feel this. And I would call them laugh attacks, where I would just start laughing and feel giddy and happy. I could not help it. I would just start laughing. This is what it was now. And Carly was experiencing the same thing. And we're just sitting here. We are cracking up, just laughing. And just we were literally like two silly ass kids. This is what we were like. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is our true nature. I forgot. I started adulting. I started to be an adult and live through the mind. And I forgot this. How often do we forget what we actually are? It's inside of us still. So I wanted to dance. I just wanted to get up and dance. I just wanted to dance. But physically, I couldn't, right? And then it goes, your desire to dance is the joy that the universe has that is expressing itself through dancing. So every time that we dance, this is the universe expressing itself. It's dancing. This is why human beings dance. This is why we've developed rituals, and we dance because this is the universe expressing itself. I'm like, oh my goodness. So then I'm laying on my side, and I look, I open my eyes, and I start to notice that all these trees had eyes on them. These trees had eyes on them. Not eyes like I'm hallucinating, no, like knobs. But I knew they were eyes. I'm like, you all have eyes. And they're like, yes, we're watching you. We see everything. And I started to look around at every tree, and every tree was watching me. It was looking at me. And I'm like, why are you all looking at me? Why? And they said, we're watching a death take place. We're watching a transformation. Just like you humans are some wise, for some reason, gravitate towards death. Now, earlier, I told you all in an earlier podcast that somebody on my street had been killed. And people were driving by the next day, 2 days, driving by, just driving by to like, and I'm like, why are y'all driving by where someone died? What's weird? What do you? And then I realized it came together. This is what these trees were doing. They were watching a death. They were watching a transformation take place. But this death, this transformation was happening within me. And then a fly flew up to me. A fly flew up to me and it stopped. And it hovered. And then it flew away. And then it came back. Another one came. And I'm like, what is this? What are you guys doing? Why are you guys doing this? And they're saying, we're here to watch you. We're here to watch you die. And then the trees start celebrating. And I'm like, what are you guys celebrating? What are you guys? They were like, yay. It was like kids like say, yay. And I'm like, what is it? What are you? And one of the trees goes, he's going to help the humans. He's going to help the humans. Good God Almighty. He's going to help the humans. As if the humans had forgotten. But these plants knew. These trees knew. Nature knew. We had forgotten. We forgot. And they were expressing this joy, saying, these humans are going to help the other humans because they're remembering. They're remembering. Good God Almighty, we're going to get started now. So Carly's wouldn't have her fourth cup because she was going through it. She was feeling nauseous. And she's throwing up, but I don't know that she's throwing up. I'm being told that she's sick. I'm being told in real time what she is experiencing energetically. The universe is telling me right now she's experiencing the fear of not being validated. And this is what's coming up out of her. This is what's dying. This is the energy that's being released, good God Almighty. And I'm just laying there in the Icaros from Jesus is playing. And Carly was telling me, she's like, every time I would start to feel sick, the wind would pick up. The trees would start to sway. It was almost as if Mother Earth was trying to usher out the energies of her releasing it, but she would get afraid and she wouldn't release it. She knew she wouldn't throw up. She kept putting off. And she's like, finally, I threw up. I finally did. She's like, it was the most awful throw up I've ever had in my life. I've never experienced that. And we were laughing about it because we were laughing because she, before, I didn't eat that day, but she had had some chips and guacamole, some fruit. And I was sitting there watching her eat. And I said, girl, you're going to end up throwing that up. I wouldn't eat it. But before she had thrown up, I told her that my stomach had felt a little bit off after my third cup. And she goes, see, you should have ate something. And when she was throwing up, when she finally came to and we sat up, I said, hey, I was watching you eat all that guacamole, saying, why in the world she's doing it? But I didn't want to say nothing. And we were just cracking up. I mean, we were laughing just so hard, right? But she had had her experience. I have to tell you all this because I took notes the next day. And I'm going to share these notes with you because these notes are sacred. I was basically told that this is the most profound thing. Stay with me here. Stay with me because I'm going to speak to your soul when I say this. The universe said to me, this joy, this jubilation that you are experiencing, this is This is the energy. This is the form of your supreme manifestation. When you are in this energy, you can, this frequency, you can manifest anything that you desire, anything, anything. And I'm like, wow. So then I says, what do you want? I said, I want this house. He said, okay. Four words, write this down. Get it tattooed on you if you have to. All it said was, then act like it. Then act like it. You want that relationship? Then act like it. You want the money? Then act like it. You want that business to grow? Then act like it. You want to be healthy? Then act like it. It was saying you could have anything, anything. Good God Almighty, y'all ain't trying to hear me right now. You could have anything, anything you desired, anything, but you had to act like it. And the only reason why you would not act like it, it said, was because of this thing called fear. Fear was what kept you from acting like it. That's all it was. So I said, ask yourself, what do you want? Oh, I want a new car. Okay, then act like it. Act like it. If it's hard for you to act like it, that's because there's fear there. And I said, whoa, hold on now. Well, what about shame? They said, there is no shame. There is no shame. Shame is not the problem. It was the fear of shame. That's what's stopping you. That's what's keeping you from living the life that you've been, you can literally do whatever. It's the fear of shame. So it said to me, it said, there's only three things. There's only three types of fears. There's only three types of fears. There's only three types of fears. Y'all stay with me here. There's only three types of fears. The fear of not having enough, the fear of not being enough, and the fear of not doing enough. That's all it was. So you want more money, but you can't act like it because it's the fear of you not having enough. That's all it was. That's all it was. That's all it was. It was just fear. That's all it was. That's the only thing that was stopping you. You ain't got to worry about shame. You ain't got to worry about guilt. It was the fear of feeling guilty. Good God Almighty. It was the fear of feeling shame. It was the fear of not being good enough. It was a fear of not doing enough. It was the fear of not having enough. It was fear. That's what it was. So, I could probably do a whole another three episodes on fear, which I will. But this ceremony, I'm not done. I haven't even had my experience yet. I'm not even done. Carly had hers. She had hers. Carly had her experience. I haven't thrown up yet. Mine hasn't even really started. And Carly's feeling better. I'm like, let's go for a walk. And the beach was down there. This is a real beach. Hold on, hear me when I say this. This is a real beach. This isn't the beach that humans got a hold of yet. I'm talking about the palm trees, goddamn, it came right up to the water. It came right up to the water. And we walked down there. And we walked down to the water. And it was the most pristine. I'd never seen water that looked like this. It was like something you see out of a picture. Like with AI, like I'm like, yo, this is the ultimate AI right here. I ain't never seen anything like this. So we walked down. And it had been probably like 5 or 6 hours now. It was like, I don't know what time it was, but the sun was starting to go down and we walked down to the water. And I stand in the water and I close my eyes because I knew I could communicate. I could have a conversation. And it says, this is all yours. This is all yours. All of this is yours. And I could feel the vastness of this entire universe. The vastness of not just this ocean, this earth, but the entire universe. It said, this is all yours. And then there was a pause. It stopped. And says, it's all yours because it's you. Because it's you. See, this is one thing we have to understand about the true divine nature of what we are. Spirit. Spirit. spirit, all that is, consciousness, the absolute, the all, whatever name you want to call it to diminish it, whatever name you want to call it, it is everything. So it's saying it's yours because it's you. It's yours because it's you. It is yours because it's you, but the ego, the mind, possesses it. We get taught in school that yours means you own it. And it's saying, no, 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 it's yours because it's you. Y'all ain't trying to hear me right now. Ain't nobody trying to hear me. They are not trying to hear me right now. It's yours because it's you. Not it's yours because you own it and then you got to get a piece of paper saying, yep, I own this ocean. I own this land. No, it's yours because it's you. It's your hand. It's your car because it is you as long as you recognize your divine nature. When you don't recognize your divine nature, you have to own it and you say it's mine. So spirit says yours equals you. The ego says yours equals mine. And I'm like, oh my goodness. I think Nas had a song called The World Is Yours. The world is yours. The world is yours. The world is yours. Everything is yours. There's nothing that's yours that's not yours. Everything is yours because everything was you. Everything. So, me and Carly go, she's sitting off by herself, and I go sit down with her. I say, how are you feeling? She's like, I'm okay. She's like, this is just amazing. She's like, I've never experienced anything like this. Sitting here on this beach, I've never experienced, and I need to have her on here. She needs to explain it from her perspective, but she's like, I've never experienced anything like this. And I look at her and I said, I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for this experience that we get to have. We'll always have this. We'll be able to share this with each other forever. I'm grateful to share this with you. And she looks at me and I look at her in a connection that had never been felt in this existence. And I look at her and I said, remember when I asked you if Jesus wore blue jeans? She said, yeah. I said, he's wearing them right now. And her mind was blown because she got it. She got it. She got it. She like was like, what? The shaman could have been named anything. He could have worn anything. Think about all the things you can wear. Anything you could wear, anything you could be named. And Jesus had on jeans. Now, this is part one of this episode. I couldn't go into part two in this one. It wouldn't be fair. Part two is really the one that you want to hear. Part two is when I have my experience. I'm just giving you kind of the cliff notes right now. I haven't even really met Mother Aya yet. But you'll have to wait till next week. This is when we're going to go deep. As always, keep going. I wish you nothing but the best on the pathway to your results.